Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and following a 29-year career with General Motors, he became the president and CEO of Rock Ventures, LLC, in 2008. As the founding chair of the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy, he played a huge role in transforming it to a world-class riverfront. As CEO of M1 Rail, he's now leading an effort to build a light rail line along Woodward Avenue. One of the best salesmen for Detroit you'll ever meet. His name, Matt Cullen. And I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to the president and COO of Rock Ventures, LLC, the Honorable Matt Cullen. Matt, a real honor to have you.
Hey, thanks, Jack. Great to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, for sure. I grew up in Rosedale Park in Detroit. I am one of eight children. My mom actually died when I was young, so she died when I was three or four, and my dad remarried to a outstanding lady, and she raised us from the time I was young, and I had a great childhood, great neighborhood. My dad's still alive, doing well, and one of the things I think I feel most blessed about is the family that I have. Just a terrific, close-knit family, and we just spent the weekend together. We spend all the time we can together, and it's a great opportunity.
What's the biggest thing you learned from dad, and what's the biggest thing you learned from your stepmom?
Well, I think I learned from my dad the importance of family, and we went through a circumstance where my mom died. My dad then was a single parent, if you will, for a while, and I grew up then with sort of four half brothers or half siblings, if you will. But it was never like that. It was always one family, and the love and caring between all of us is something I think I learned from my dad. I think from my mom, I just learned. I think how important it is to be nice to people and to interact with them in a way that you'd like to be interacted with. And she was always, very focused on that. Just the way you approach people, the fact that you're straightforward with integrity and so on. And I think that was certainly an important lesson.
Matt Cullen, you live that every day.
Well, thank you.
How was it you went to work for General Motors?
Well, I went to University of Michigan, and great school. I had a lot of fun. I got out of there and was looking for an opportunity. I was looked at a few different ones. Was approached by General Motors with the idea of going into real estate and discussions of far off countries and lots of opportunities. And it was really exciting to me. Of course, I was a big fan of GM growing up local, and so I signed on for that. It was a long time before I went overseas. I spent a lot of time in the Detroit and Pontiac and Flint's and the hometowns. The Lansings, the backbone of General Motors, and had a great career there.
In 1997, GM buys the Rensen, and you lead the effort to move 7,000 GMers down to the Rensen. And there was a $500 million redevelopment of that Rensen. What were the major changes and modifications?
Well, at the time, General Motors was '96. We were looking at building here in the New Center area, expanding the General Motors building, building elsewhere within the city or the region, even some discussion moving out of the state at the time. We needed to bring all of the marketing businesses together. It was really important to us in order to move forward as a great company. And at the time, we made a decision to buy the Renaissance Center. Was aware that it was available. I brought that to our senior leadership, talked to them about buying it, making a commitment to stay here in the city of Detroit. And when we did, and I think it was a very courageous decision on the part of the Jack Smiths and Harry Pierce and so on that did that, very important to the city. When we did, we said, if we're going to buy it, though, we want to make it a world-class global headquarters. So we need to take down the berms out in front, open it up to the city. We need to open up the back with a winter garden and open it up to the river for the first time. We needed to do the circulation ring. It used to be the joke was if you want to get around the Renaissance Center, you needed a GPS unit. It can still be a little challenging, but the circulation ring certainly helped a lot with that. So really transformed it, I think, to make it much more open, both for the folks that work there and, importantly, the city as well.
You had a fantastic 29-year career at GM. Matt, what was the biggest thing you learned during those 29 years?
Well, I think that one thing that was important is I learned that the impact that a company can have on their community. I mean, when you look at the things that General Motors did, you know, look at the Renaissance Center project, look at other projects that they've done, the transformation of Centerpoint in Pontiac and so on. You recognize that whether they're investing or disinvesting, if they're doing it in a way that really connects to the community and that shows an understanding of how impactful a company can be to the community, it's really important. And I think that lesson carried me into projects like the Riverfront and the rail project, and ultimately caused me to really be attracted to work with Dan Gilbert and the folks at Quicken and Rock because they have that same kind of culture.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Rick Wagner?
I think the biggest thing I learned from Rick is just that he was a very open and approachable guy. He had a very big job, obviously, chairman of General Motors, and yet he was always open. He was always approachable. He was always very interested in how you were doing personally and how your family was doing. He's a guy that I had and have a lot of respect for, both professionally and personally.
We're talking to Matt Cullen. When we come back, we'll ask him why he left General Motors after 29 years and went with Danny Gilbert and Rock Ventures LLC. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Matt Cullen, who's an urbanist at heart. And for 30-plus years, he's been one of the best salesmen we have for Detroit. Matt, 2008, you leave GM after 29 fabulous years, and you go with Dan Gilbert, Rock Ventures. Why?
Well, it's interesting. We were talking about the impact that you can have on the community as a company and how General Motors was very much into that. And I had the opportunity there with General Motors to become involved in a lot of different things in support of the community. And that's actually how I got to know Dan, kind of interestingly, because he was looking hard at bringing the Quicken Rock team downtown, had really taken a keen interest in a lot of the projects downtown, including the rail project. And that's how I got to know Dan. And for me personally, it was just a good time. It was a time that I had done what I thought I could do at General Motors. I was looking for an opportunity to perhaps be a little bit closer to the business. I mean, at General Motors, I headed up the real estate and economic development and kind of a shared services group. But it wasn't as close to the action from a business standpoint as the automotive side. And so I really had reached a point that I wanted to be in an environment where if I did really well personally, that if I had done a really effective job, if my team did a great job, that it would show up on the bottom line results for the company a little bit more directly. The opportunity to be just a little bit more entrepreneurial. I mean, I think that General Motors has a lot of entrepreneurial pockets, but Dan is all about that and is very focused on that. And so when Dan and I started talking about his commitment to the city, about the things he wanted to do, about me coming in and helping in the coordinating role of this, you know, 40 different businesses that he has, it was something that appealed to me at that moment in time, and I'm, you know, was lucky to have the opportunity and have really enjoyed it.
We're talking to Matt Cullen, who since 2008 has been the president and COO of Rock Ventures LLC. Matt, tell us about Rock Ventures LLC.
Well, I will, and I'm actually the president CEO now, so I will tell you that too. So at some point in the process, Dan promoted me. It didn't have a big meaningful impact, but It was nice of him to do. Dan is an entrepreneur that has all kinds of great businesses. Obviously, people are familiar with Quicken Loans and the Cavaliers and Fathead and so on, but there's all kinds of other companies as well. And what Dan asked me to do is, as a sort of a serial entrepreneur, is to come in and help him coordinate between these different organizations and to make sure that the ones that are doing well are provided the opportunity to continue to do so. The ones that need perhaps a little bit of help and resources are provided that as well. It really has been a great learning experience for me because I get to interact with business leaders like Bill Emerson and Jay Farner at Quicken and the folks at the Cavs and all of those. I get to learn from them, and I get to help them and others as we grow to work this family of companies, this Rock Ventures, which is very much a family and very much culturally interacts well together, but didn't have all of the processes in place to grow as an enterprise. And so I've been able to bring some of the things that I learned at General Motors as far as that kind of a scale and that kind of coordinating the complexities of a General Motors, bringing a little bit of that to bear at Rock. It's been a lot of fun. And so that's what I do, sort of my day job, but I spend a lot of time on the Detroit initiative, which is very core and central to Dan and to all of our companies. And I also spend some time on our gaming activities.
Maybe your flagship would be Quicken Loans.
No question.
Tell us about Quicken Loans.
Well, Quicken is the fourth or fifth largest retail lender in the United States these days. It's online. It's a terrific organization. It's growing by leaps and bounds. It's got an incredible culture. It's top 10 year after year on the best places to work as a company, best places to work as an IT professional. It really is an IT company, kind of wrapped in the guise of a mortgage company. I mean, I think one of the reasons it's been so successful is that during the period of a real radical change in the marketplace in the 2008s, 2009s, and other massive changes in the industry, they are so nimble, have such a great culture, and have such a strong IT platform that allows them to react very quickly and not only to sustain business, but actually to expand in those times. And so it's a fun business to be associated with.
I quote you now, Quicken Loans is as much a technology company as it is a mortgage company.
Well, that's exactly right. That's what I was just saying. Really, I mean, at the time, if you think back to 2008, 2009, the Fannie Mae's and those guys were kind of in trouble. There was all the mortgage meltdown. We went from a company that did practically zero FHA loans because of the complexity of the paperwork and so on, to suddenly being the largest FHA lender in the country because we had the technology platform to allow us to transition that quickly. So when a lot of the other mortgage companies either went away or lost a lot of their market share, Bill Emerson, Jay Farner, and their team was actually able to expand. So we're trying to build on that. We've got an integrated platform with all of our title work in-house. All of the closings take place with our people. So we can close a loan in any county, in any state, in the country, and we can do it much quicker than our competitors. And so business has been really booming, and that's terrific for all of the folks associated with it. And it's terrific for the city because we're going to be up to 6,000 people in the city before very long, and we continue to hire at a very aggressive pace.
Let's talk about Dan Gilbert. Tell us, please, Dan Gilbert.
Well, other than having gone to Michigan State, which I have a hard time with as a Michigan guy, but other than that, he's just a great guy. He's strong family guy that has a great family, puts a lot of time and attention to that. A great business guy who is very talented in creating an environment that encourages people to be entrepreneurial, that encourages them to take chances and to take risks. It's a challenging business environment in that everybody is expected to work hard and to do well. But it's also very much a caring business environment where people are appreciated as individuals and people become part of a team and you know you look at the Farners and the Emersons and the McGinnises and all these Pat McGinnis and all these other guys, they've been there since the inception practically. So it's one that builds from within. It's got a great culture, and that all comes from Dan. He's a visionary relative to the ideas that he thinks he can nurture into businesses, and he's very passionate about them, and he's obviously been very successful with it.
The latest venture is the Horseshoe Casino in Cleveland, and soon to be followed by the Horseshoe Casino in Cincinnati. Tell us about those initiatives.
Well, it's funny. I've talked a lot about the urban redevelopment, and that's actually how we got into the gaming business, because in downtown Cleveland, we have the Quicken Loans Arena and the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Lake Erie Monsters and so on. And when Dan bought those teams, he said, look, I want to be a part of this community, as we are obviously in the city of Detroit, and I want to continue to invest here. So he brought a new Quicken Loans web banking center into that downtown core. We bought a ticketing company, that Veritix, that is in the downtown core. And so when I joined the company, we were down there trying to figure out what could we do to generate more business downtown? What could we do to generate the same kind of 24/7 activity we want here in the city of Detroit? And one idea that we had was perhaps to put a casino downtown to drive that kind of volume, to get those kind of visitors in the downtown area. So there was a referendum in 2008 that was for a casino outside of Dayton in Ohio. We were not interested in that one. When that one didn't pass, though, we came back and said, you know what, if we did this right and did it in the heart of the downtowns of the four largest cities, had a lot of the money go back local, a lot of the money go back to the local communities, because as you said earlier, we are really urbanists. We think that it's very important. We don't think you're going to have a successful region without a successful city. So our predicate was, let's do something that's going to drive a lot of business into the city, a lot of tax revenue into the city, and to revitalize that core. So that's how it started. We had a referendum in 2009 that was fortunate that the voters of Ohio passed. And there's four casinos in Ohio. There will be. We have the right to develop in Cleveland and Cincinnati. And our partners in the campaign, Penn, had the right to do Toledo and Columbus. So two of those are open, Cleveland and Toledo. And we're looking forward to opening the Cincinnati project in the first quarter next year.
A while ago, Dan Gilbert created a philanthropic entrepreneurial boot camp entitled Bizdom U. BIZDOMU. Tell us about that.
Well, Bizdom builds on Dan's entrepreneurial capabilities and passion. And the predicate to that was that people here in this area, typically, as I did, would come out of the universities, our great universities, and go to work for General Motors or Ford or Chrysler or Lear or on and on, Dow or somebody else, one of the big companies, which we're very fortunate to have. But we didn't really have an entrepreneurial culture. We didn't have people, necessarily when folks would get out of school and say, hey, I've got this great idea and I'm going to go create a business. And so Dan really believed that that's something that can be taught, that you can teach people how to be entrepreneurs, that you can create that culture over time. He uses Groupon, which was created in Chicago by a couple of Detroit guys, Southfield guys, as an example of where we need to harvest that talent locally and grow economic development through that kind of thing on a local basis. So Bizdom is a entrepreneurial boot camp. It teaches people how to be entrepreneurs. It teaches someone that might have a great idea for business, hey, here's how you do a sales pitch. Here's how you do, your initial financial package. Here's how you hire somebody. Here's how you do some of the basics that they might not know how to do. And then, so there's the educational aspect to it. And then there's also an investment side where if they have a good idea, if they are prepared to work on that idea hard and to build it in the city of Detroit, that the philanthropic arm of Bizdom will invest to support that that great idea and so on. So it's all philanthropic. It's going well. Momentum's really building. And I think that's really, every study will show you it's those new startup companies that are going to grow employment in a community now, not the big, traditional companies.
We're talking to Matt Cullen. When we come back, we'll ask him about his phenomenal love for Detroit. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Matt Cullen, who in 1983 was shot in Detroit while on a date. Yet, in spite of that, Matt, you have a phenomenal love for Detroit. Why?
Well, that's a good question. I've been asked that before, as to how that incident impacted on it or did it. I think it did to some extent. I think I came out of that incident pretty upset at the time and certainly had some concerns about the city of Detroit. But I think you make a decision then that either you're going to flee from that kind of thing, or you're going to get involved and try and change it. And obviously, I chose the latter. I grew up in the city, as we talked about earlier. I have tremendous memories of that growing up. Believe that the city can be a very important aspect of our region and our state. Believe that it needs to be if we're going to have a successful region and a state. Know how many great people are here, have had the opportunity to work with a wide number of them that are equally passionate about things taking place in the city. So it started here when I say here because literally we're looking out of the window of the Fisher Building, and of course that's where General Motors was. We were across the street in the General Motors Building, became involved in the new Center Commons and trying to build neighborhoods here. Really became more keenly focused on it when General Motors was evaluating a new headquarters, and was it going to be in the city, or was it going to be in Warren, or was it going to be somewhere else? And as we talked about earlier, recognizing the profound impact that General Motors can have on a community, given the scale and given the investment and given the people working here and so on, was really motivated to find a solution that worked in the city of Detroit. The Renaissance Center became that solution. And when we bought it, we said, look, we're going to not just be tenants. We're not going to come down here and just be a part of the scenery. We're going to try and shape the city and do some things. And General Motors did that here, locally in Detroit and elsewhere. And, of course, as we just talked about, it's very much in the forefront of what Dan's philosophy is as well.
You were the founding chair of the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy, which transformed a beat-up old industrial riverfront into this world-class riverfront from Uniroyal on the east to the Ambassador Bridge on the west, 5 miles. Tell us the status of that renovation.
Well, it's a great project. I mean, I think from a City of Detroit perspective, I'm not sure that there could be a project that people are or should be more proud of. It shows how our community can come together to get something done. We embarked on it in 2002, 2003. At the time, it was the East Riverfront, so it was going to be Joe Louis down to Gabriel Richard Park. And it started off as a $300 million commitment by the community. It's probably north of $400 million now. That's 3.5 miles. And we said, we used to look across the water, and we'd see Windsor, and we'd see Chicago, and we'd see Minneapolis, St. Paul, and you'd have kind of waterfront envy. You'd say, look at those spectacular communities, and we had, as you said, kind of broken down parking lots and abandoned cars, and we came together and said, look, we can change that. And it was a small group of folks, including the Kresge Foundation, General Motors, the City of Detroit. It built from there. It was one of those projects that's so complicated and so daunting, both in scale and complexity, that anybody involved could have killed it. But instead, everybody came together with a shared vision to drive it forward. And we have a tremendous CEO in Faye Nelson, a great board. Mayor Bing's been on the board from the beginning, George Jackson, a great team of folks. East Riverfront, we're about 80% done. We're starting on the third pavilion, some remaining work. This fall, we're going to, the Uniroyal is going to be the last piece to get done, probably because of some environmental issues. That's probably a year or two out. And then we'll be done with the East Riverfront. West Riverfront, taking us from Joe Louis down to the Ambassador Bridge. We have site control over most of the property. We're working on the railroad yard. I think in 2-3 years, we're done with East Riverfront. 5 or 10, we're done with the west. 5.5 miles, perpetual public access, linked parks, spectacular infrastructure to allow for then the development that's starting to take place with the Port Authority Terminal and the new Science and Math High School and the new Roberts residential complex, condos, restaurants, transformed riverfront over the course of the next few years.
We're talking to Matt Cullen, an urbanist at heart, and definitely one of the best salespeople we have for Detroit. Let's go up now. Let's talk about the Lower Woodward Corridor.
Well, we're excited about that. I mean, that's really the heart of our downtown. And if you kind of define that from the riverfront up to Grand Circus Park, it's certainly an area that within the Gilbert Rock Ventures family, we have a lot of interest in. We bought 10 properties. The number goes up kind of on a daily basis. 3 million square feet, have invested about $300 million. We want to transform that portion of the city. I mean, if you think of the great things Sue Mosey and the team is doing in the Midtown area and New Center, you tie into the entertainment district with the vision that the Illiches have. Lower Woodward then is the connecting fabric, takes you down to the riverfront. And we think that whole area around Campus Martius is going to explode. If you go to Campus Martius now on a summer day, it's just throngs of people, all kinds of activity. We've had the City Lofts down there the last few days on Woodward Avenue, showing that retail can work in the city. So it's a very, very exciting time and a lot taking place. Residential, more residents downtown than there have ever been. You can't find an apartment or a loft if you want to move into downtown or midtown right now. That's the kind of demand there is in that area. So it's really a transformative time in the city of Detroit, and from a rock perspective, as well as the Conservancy and M1 and everything else, it kind of knits together to make that fabric a whole. It's really exciting to see.
Quicken Loans, Strategic Staffing, Blue Cross Blue Shield, CompuWare, and Detroit Edison came together to give an incentive for their employees to move downtown. And I think you told me recently that there's 200 Quicken Loans employees waiting.
Well, there's that's right. So Live Downtown was modeled after the great program in Midtown, Live Midtown, and where Wayne State and the DMC and Henry Ford came together and others. We did the same thing in the downtown area, just expanding the geography. We have had north of 100 people within Quicken take advantage of that already. We have, from a Quicken Loans perspective, we have almost 400 people living in the city now. So what's great is, from a demographic standpoint, is our folks are, you know, primarily in the 20s and 30s, and they love the urban opportunity. So I can't tell you how many of them literally live within, you know, a 5-minute walk to the building, and they are at all of the local events and the games and the restaurants, and it really is creating a lot of vitality down there.
The restaurants just keep opening up.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite?
Well, let's see. I mean, some of the favorites. Joe Muir's is certainly not. That's not exactly a new one. I mean, it's a new iteration of it. That's one of my favorites for sure. It's just so much fun to try them all and to experience the breadth of the restaurants that they have. The new one in Campus Martius Park is terrific. It's all the little restaurants and all the little bars that create that kind of a community that we admire in the Torontos and Chicagos and other places, and that's what's fun about what's starting to take place. I mean, some great iterations of you know, the London Chop House is back, and I mean, just it's fun to see all those things starting to take shape.
We're talking to Matt Cullen, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Matt Cullen, president and CEO of Rock Ventures LLC. You're also the CEO of M1 Rail. You're a double dipper.
That's right.
A consortium of business people pushing to build a light rail line along Woodward Avenue. Which is going to come first? A Super Bowl victory by the Lions, a World Series by the Cubs, or this M1 light rail?
A World Series by the Cubs. I don't know how to factor that one in. I don't want to give Tom Lawan a hard time because I'm a big fan of what he's doing with the Lions. But I think M1 is going to happen. It's been a real challenge because it is complicated. I talk about the riverfront and how many moving parts, but this one probably even has more because every level of government, including the federal government, has to be involved. And it's been a tough project, but it's so important that we're staying focused on getting it done. We really believe that transit in the core of the downtown, the lower Woodward up through Midtown, all the areas we've been talking about, all the areas where there's great developments taking place, it needs to be connected. One of the main problems in the city of Detroit historically is that there's sort of episodic development where there's a cool project here, and then you go four blocks where there's nothing happening, and then another cool project. In order for all those great little restaurants and things we talked about to thrive, they need people moving around. And the streetcar system, the light rail system helps to do that. It also connects everybody into the Amtrak station here in the new center. So it's been an incredible project. We will have raised $140 million to build this, the vast majority of that philanthropically. And so, I mean, I take a moment to focus on that. Most of the Riverfront Conservancy was done philanthropically with the Kresge Foundation and the corporate community and the and individuals. The same thing's taking place on M1. It's going to be built as a contribution to the community. So we're working hard on it. Lots of challenges, but when you have people like Rip Rapson and Roger Penske and Dan Gilbert and others involved with it, they're disinclined to give up very easily. So we're going to get it done.
When will you break ground?
Well, we hope to get approval from Secretary LaHood to move forward over the course of the next couple of months. And if that happens, then we'll do all the engineering starting right away. We'll get our bids in the very beginning of next year, and we would be able to break ground in the spring.
God has really blessed you, Matt Cullen.
Well, that's true.
You know, leading that effort for GM to buy and renovate the Rensen, the Riverfront, the Woodward, the M1, marrying Karen, Cullen?
Marrying Karen, three tremendous young men that... Karen is doing a great job raising, and I help out when I can as well. So, not just kidding. I'm very lucky with my family as well. It's very important to me. It's something, as I said to you, I learned from my dad as far as how important it is, and certainly looking to create that same kind of loving relationship in my own family as my dad was able to do.
Matt, what's the project that you're the most proud of?
Probably at this point, the Riverfront. You know, Renaissance Center was great. There's lots of projects I've been involved with throughout my career. M1, I hope will be up there in the rankings at some point. But you know, the role that the Riverfront has played in changing people's perception of the city, and it's great physical space, which is terrific. But it really, it's a different feel to it. I mean, when you go down there, if you went down there this afternoon, you'll see a couple of thousand people there over the course of an hour or so. You'll see baby carriages and walking dogs and walking hand in hand and people interacting with each other and enjoying the music and pointing out things of interest on the water. And it's what our community was and what it needs to be again. And I think a lot of that has come back from the Riverfront and how important it is. And it's going to become a magnet for development. It has in every other community in the world when they reclaim their waterfront. And I'm confident it will do that here.
The neighborhoods. Huge challenges. Talk about the neighborhoods.
Well, the neighborhoods are a challenge. I grew up in one of the best ones, in my opinion, of course, with great bias, in Rosedale Park. Lots of people would claim their own was just as great. I think that the city has some challenges now to make sure that we invest wisely in the neighborhoods. I mean, we have a community, we have a city that's scaled for 2.5 million people that has 700,000 people in it. And, you know, in order to operate efficiently and effectively, we need to make sure that the land use patterns we're thoughtful about, that we create density that allows communities to be successful. And that's going to be a challenge for us. It's going to require some approach to sort of reinvestment and disinvestment of a magnitude never seen in U.S. history, as far as I'm familiar with. So it's going to be a challenge for us, but we've got a lot of opportunities associated with those challenges, and I'm confident with the right leadership and the right focus that we'll be able to transform the neighborhoods the same way that the downtown is being transformed.
Some people listening tonight say, while you're an optimist, I commend you, but this is like a yo-yo, you know? I've heard all of these promises and this great news. I want to believe it, but I can't believe it.
Well, they need to come downtown. I mean, they need to, for those that are saying that, and I understand it, they need to come downtown because it's different. It is fundamentally different. I mean, when the Renaissance Center project was done, it was going to, you know, save the city. And when the stadiums were done, it was going to save the city and Harbor Town and so on. But what's fundamentally different now is the residential. It's the young people moving downtown. It's the activity on the street. It's people riding their bikes at midnight. You know, jogging in the core of downtown. It's just a level of activity that I've never seen. And I think it is fundamentally different. Same thing with the riverfront. It's the investments in infrastructure like the riverfront and M1 that are going to knit it together. It's people like Dan Gilbert, and you mentioned the CompuWare, the B. Carmanises and the Dan Leps and so on. It's people like that that have the commitment. But more fundamentally, it's all the small business guys now that are saying, this is the right place for me. This is where I can be successful. Community is not going to be sustainable through altruism. It needs to be commercially viable, and that's what's starting to take place in the downtown now.
We mentioned earlier that you've been very blessed. What role has faith played in your life, Matt Cullen?
Well, faith has been is a very important role for me. It's something that I learned from my dad and from my family. I mean, I grew up in a Catholic home, and it's went to Catholic schools, went to Catholic Central. So it's something that's very important to me. It's something that I continue to instill in my children, because I do think it is important to recognize when you are blessed that you need to be able to engage and to help others and to do what you can as a part of a community and to live the right way, as I said, my mom taught me. So I do think it's a part of who I am, and I work to reflect that in the way I interact with people and instill it in my family.
Matt Cullen, as our time winds down this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
I think my advice would be to get involved. I mean, it's interesting, all of the things that we talk about as far as the opportunities I've had to volunteer and to be engaged and to help out on these different organizations, it ends up coming back to you tenfold. I mean, because you meet people and you get more knowledgeable about things taking place and so on. And so get involved, do things that you're passionate about, get engaged in the city. I really do think that's where the opportunities are going to be in the future. And again, every time you think that there's a sense that you're doing it for others, it almost invariably comes back with greater dividends for you personally. So it's certainly something I'd encourage people to do.
Matt Cullen, you're a dreamer, you're a doer, and time after time, you make the impossible happen. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.